Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Katie Weaver, Gregory Stockel, and Brian Lynn. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will present the next part in our series on America's presidents. But first, here is Katie Weaver.
The American Kennel Club, or AKC, has officially recognized another dog breed in its registry of dogs. The AKC is the oldest dog registry in the United States. The organization has now welcomed the Braco Italiano to the group. The ancient Italian bird hunting dog is the 200th member of the club, the organization announced. That means the powerful but good-natured pointers can now compete at many U.S. dog shows for best in show. That includes the famous Westminster Kennel Club event in New York State. The European breed goes back more than 200 years. The AKC said it was brought to America in the 1990s. It is sometimes called the Italian Pointer or Italian Pointing Dog. The Braco should be tough and adapted to all types of hunting, reliable, docile, and intelligent, the AKC said. It added that the breed is also friendly and not aggressive. They're very easy to live with and be around, said Braco owner and breeder Lisa Mahler of Portage, Wisconsin. But they are also ready, she said, when it's time to jump in the back of the truck and go hunting, and they've got a job. She and her husband Dale had depended on Labrador retrievers to help them hunt birds called pheasants. But about 5 years ago, they met a Braco. The two noted the dog's methodical way of hunting in the field and sweet nature at home. They're very Velcro, Lisa Mahler said. Velcro is a material that attaches one thing to another. Mahler said Braco Italiani have a deep bark and readily deploy it on sensing wildlife. So they might not be the right dog for everybody. AKC Executive Secretary Gina DiNardo called the Braco a great dog for active families who can provide the love and attention it needs. The AKC opened the nation's oldest dog registry with 9 breeds in 1878. In the last 10 years, the club has added over 20 breeds. There remain many breeds that are registered in other places, but not by the AKC, or are not officially recognized at all. Some dog lovers do not want the exposure that AKC recognition brings to a breed. Animal rights activists denounce dog breeding. They argue that adding more breeds just increases demand for purebred animals and the factory-like business that produces them. The AKC says it supports responsible breeding. It says the goal is to keep important qualities of dogs that enable them to perform different kinds of activities. And the group says that can ease owners' search for a dog they can live with long term. I'm Katie Weaver.
On Kenya's southern coast, an estimated 1,500 people depend on the sea to make a living. But local fishers are seeing less of one especially valuable fish, the tuna. Local weather conditions usually mean there is a lot of tuna. The fish earns them a good amount of money at local markets. Kenyan fisher Chapoka Mionga said there are several reasons that he and others are finding less tuna. One is the presence of large foreign fishing ships in the area. Another reason is changes to local weather conditions caused by climate change. Kasim Abdallah Zingizi is a fisher from the town of Vanga. Zingizi said most small fishing businesses lack the skills, knowledge, and financial support to compete with larger foreign fishing boats. The foreign boats are mostly from Europe and Asia. They use satellite technology to follow schools of tuna all over the Indian Ocean. Another reason for the decrease in tuna is climate change. Denise Oigara is from the Kenya Fisheries Service. Oigara said the Kenyan government is putting an economic strategy into effect that will deal with the effects of climate change on the means of living for those on the coast. It will also increase the skills among artisanal fishers and further sustainable fishing methods. Financial support for large fisheries has long been blamed for destructive fishing practices. The World Trade Organization has discussed the issue, but there has been no resolution. The Indian Ocean Tuna Commission is responsible for the area's tuna laws. In 2018 and 2020, the amount of tuna caught went over catch limits. The Tuna Commission was criticized for not enforcing measures to help protect several kinds of tuna from overfishing. However, at its meeting earlier this year, the commission passed a resolution to study the effects of climate change on tuna fish stocks in the area. It was called one of the meeting's successes. It is the second regional fisheries management organization to enforce a resolution on climate change. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says differences in the climate have led to reduced amounts of sea life and damage to coral. It also said climatic differences have led to an increased risk of conflict over decreasing resources. Kenyan fishing communities are already feeling these effects. Mazera Mgala started fishing in 1975. The experienced fisher said, "Back in the day, I would start fishing in the early morning, and 3 to 4 hours later, I would be through as I had caught enough fish." Nowadays, Mgala added, "I stay longer at sea and still catch less." I'm Gregory Stockel.
The American Space Agency, NASA, has released the first images observed by its powerful James Webb Space Telescope. NASA describes the Webb as the largest and most powerful space science telescope ever built. The telescope is a joint partnership between NASA, the European Space Agency, and the Canadian Space Agency. The orbiting observatory aims to build on the work of earlier telescopes such as the Hubble and Spitzer. Both of those telescopes led to many discoveries and captured detailed and colorful images. But the Webb is designed to gather more in-depth data and explore parts of space never observed before. NASA released 5 new images this week. The first was shown Monday during a White House event attended by President Joe Biden. The new images showed parts of the universe observed by other telescopes in the past. But NASA officials said the Webb's power, distant position, and ability to observe infrared light brought more depth and detail to the images than ever before. NASA praised the work of the Webb development team and said the telescope had begun a new era in astronomy. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson said the images demonstrated how the telescope will help uncover the answers to questions we don't even yet know to ask. The head of the European Space Agency, Josef Aschbacher, said the new telescope had really changed the understanding of our universe. The Webb is a large infrared telescope with a 6.5-meter mirror. Infrared waves are electromagnetic energy that cannot be seen with the human eye. The waves exist at a wavelength that is good for observing distant objects through gas and dust. The infrared system can also pick up light from more distant parts of the universe. The telescope's large mirror and scientific instruments are protected by a thick cover. When fully open, the cover is about the size of a tennis court. NASA officials say astronomers will use the telescope to further study the formation and development of stars, galaxies, and exoplanets. The $10 billion telescope was launched in December after years of delays and cost overruns. It took about a month to reach its orbiting position about 1.6 million kilometers away from Earth. In the months since then, NASA has been fully deploying and testing the telescope. The first images were chosen by NASA to demonstrate the telescope's abilities and provide a look ahead to possible new science discoveries. The image shown during an event at the White House was a deep field image of a distant galaxy cluster called SMAX 0723. NASA said the image provided the most detailed look yet at the early universe. Among the other 4 images were 2 that showed huge clouds of gas and dust called nebulas. The Carina Nebula is an area where stars are forming, and the Southern Ring Nebula surrounds a dying star. Each is thousands of light years away. The collection also included new images of another galaxy cluster known as Stefan's Quintet, which was first discovered in 1877. The cluster includes several galaxies that NASA describes as locked in a cosmic dance of repeated close encounters. Another image showed a detailed examination of data on a large planet outside our solar system called WASP-96b. The telescope used its infrared equipment to look at the chemical makeup of the planet's atmosphere. NASA said it discovered the presence of water vapor in the atmosphere of an exoplanet for the first time. I'm Brian Lynn.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Andrew Jackson, the seventh president, was unlike the earlier U.S. presidents. His family was poor, he had little education, and he lived on what was then the western part of the country. Jackson became nationally known in the early 1800s. First as a fighter against Native American tribes, and then as a general in the War of 1812 against the British. His image as a military hero and man of the people made him a popular choice for the presidency. But critics said Jackson did not accept any limits on his power. He is also remembered for supporting slavery and for forcing Native Americans from their homes. Andrew Jackson's parents were immigrants from Ireland. His father died in an accident before Andrew, the third and youngest son, was born. When the American colonies entered a war of independence, Andrew and his two brothers fought against the British, although Andrew was too young to be a regular soldier. Andrew's oldest brother soon died. Then Andrew and his other brother were both captured by British soldiers. One cut Andrew's face, leaving a scar that remained his entire life. But Andrew, unlike his brother, survived captivity. A short time later, Andrew's mother became sick and died. By age 15, Andrew Jackson had no living immediate family. He had already stopped attending school, but taught himself enough to become a lawyer. He moved to what became Nashville, Tennessee, where he developed a successful law career. In time, he bought land and slaves. Jackson was tall and thin, with red hair and bright blue eyes. Sometimes Jackson was playful. He loved to dance, hold parties, and play games where he could win money. Sometimes he was violent. He was known for getting angry easily. Jackson fought duels with several men. In one, he killed a man who insulted his wife. Yet many people liked Jackson's passionate, action-first personality. By the time the United States entered the War of 1812, Jackson had been a congressman, senator, and judge. Jackson did not have any officially recognized military training, but during the War of 1812, he volunteered in the Tennessee militia and quickly took control of troops. Many of his soldiers came to respect him. Jackson refused to give up, even when the government ordered the militia to disband. And when some of the men wanted to leave, he threatened them with a gun. Because he was uncompromising and strong as a tree, soldiers called Jackson Old Hickory. A group of Creek Indians gave him another name. After he defeated them in battle, Jackson negotiated a treaty that punished both his Native American enemies and his Native American allies. The treaty was more severe than the U.S. government had asked, In time, it forced the Creeks, as well as several other tribes, off their land. The move was popular with many white settlers. It was less popular with the Creeks, who called Jackson Sharp Knife. His best-known military operation was in New Orleans, Louisiana. A large, experienced army of British soldiers moved to attack. Jackson defended the city with a small group of untrained soldiers. His group included volunteers, free blacks, Creoles, Native Americans, and pirates. Jackson's ragtag troops not only defeated the British force, but suffered only a few losses. Jackson didn't know that the battle came after the British and Americans had already agreed to end the war. But his victory there gave many Americans a feeling of pride. It also made Jackson famous. He became known across the country as the hero of New Orleans. Voters across the country supported Jackson, too. He was especially well-liked in the South and West. Many Americans saw him as a man of the people. They believed his success came from experience and hard work, not wealth and family connections. In the presidential election of 1824, Jackson received more popular and electoral votes than any of the other candidates. But because no candidate had a majority, lawmakers in the House of Representatives decided the election. Those lawmakers chose John Quincy Adams, the son of former President John Adams. They were persuaded, in part, because a leader in Congress named Henry Clay said Jackson did not have the temperament to be president. Immediately after Quincy Adams won, he appointed Clay Secretary of State. The appointment angered Jackson. He believed Adams and Clay had entered into a corrupt bargain. In the next presidential election 4 years later, Jackson defeated Quincy Adams in a landslide. And in the presidential election after that, he crushed Henry Clay. Jackson wanted to be a powerful leader who controlled a limited federal government, but he wanted that government to have power over state governments. For example, Jackson refused to let the state of South Carolina nullify or ignore a federal law that state officials opposed. Jackson said if they failed to obey the law, he would consider them traitors and send in troops. In time, South Carolina and Congress were able to reach a compromise on the law. Jackson also refused to extend the charter of the National Bank. He believed the bank helped industrialists and businesses more than farmers and settlers. His move was popular with many voters, especially farmers and settlers. But Jackson's opponents warned against the bank veto. They disagreed with his economic plan, and they objected to how he had operated outside of Congress. Senators censured Jackson for acting as if he did not have to follow the law. Jackson's supporters fought back. They removed the official criticism from the Senate records. Jackson vetoed more bills than the first six presidents combined. He actively worked for only one major law, the Indian Removal Act of 1830. Jackson believed Native Americans occupied land that should belong to white settlers. He also thought Native Americans would be destroyed or lose their culture to white people anyway. So he offered several tribes what appeared to be generous treaties to move onto land west of the Mississippi River. But the treaties were often unfair or illegal. The tribes who accepted rarely received the benefits Jackson promised them, and some tribes, such as the Cherokees, simply refused to go. Empowered by Jackson's Indian Removal Act, U.S. government officials eventually forced 15,000 Cherokees off their land. They were made to march over 1,600 kilometers. About 4,000 died on the march. It is remembered as the Trail of Tears. For white settlers, Jackson's Indian removal policies resulted in over 100,000 square kilometers of new land to farm. Thousands of cotton planters moved west with their enslaved workers. The Indian Removal Act served not only to aid an economic boom in cotton, but to spread slavery further in the United States. Jackson had no objections. In 1837, Jackson officially moved out of the White House, but he did not really leave the presidency. He advised the presidents who followed him from his home in Tennessee. Jackson had particular influence over two future leaders, Martin Van Buren, his former vice president, and James Polk, who shared Jackson's beliefs so closely that he was called Young Hickory. Jackson's beloved wife, Rachel, had died before he took office. They did not have any children together, but they raised two boys, a Native American orphan who died as a teenager, and a nephew, whom they called Andrew Jackson Jr. The younger Andrew Jackson and his wife lived with the former president in his final years. He died in his bed at 78 of old wounds and old age, but his legacy remains very much alive. Jackson changed the U.S. presidency. After him, presidential candidates had to show they could connect with voters, not just lawmakers. He also increased the power of the chief executive. Jackson often questioned, or dismissed, the power of Congress, the Constitution, and the Supreme Court. And he began the custom of replacing experienced government officials with people whose main qualification was their loyalty to him. Critics added to Jackson's nicknames. They called him King Andrew, King Mob, or American Caesar. The opposition to Jackson led to a new political party called the Whigs. Part of Jackson's legacy is the two major party system that exists in the U.S. today. But those who loved Jackson really loved him. His humble beginnings, rise to power, and defense of the common man inspired them. In the U.S., the name of Andrew Jackson is still often used as a positive symbol of American democracy. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.